Rather than old time Christian than anything I know. There is nothing like an old time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking the grand old highway and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know. In this world, I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there is nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I'm walking the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. That I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There is nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking the grand old highway and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I want to be a millionaire as I manage and I pursue. I've longed to be a leader like a Motown man would do. I'd like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There are many things that I would like to be as my journey I pursue. I long to be a leader like a mortal man who do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to be strong. But I would rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I'll tell the world both find near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. That I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There is nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking the grand old highway and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. I would rather be an old-time Christian. As I tell everywhere where I go, all over the show, that me, I would rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. We should be proud of ourselves as Christians, as believers of the gospel truth. Men and brethren, God bless you. This is Pastor Albert Matimbe from Zimbabwe, coming again on our daily devotion today and continuing the subject, the harvest and the laborers. Today, listen up to the book of Isaiah chapter 52 and hear what this prophet said. This same prophet who had the opportunity even to see the coming of the Messiah hundreds and hundreds of years before the Messiah came. And prophet Isaiah penned down these words in Isaiah 52 verse 7 and concerning the laborers, concerning those that bring the word of God, the word of salvation. Here it reads, Isaiah 52 verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Praise God. And down the line he says, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Yes, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. Yes, sir. Yeah, the scripture tells us the beautiful words, the great tidings that come with the people who are sent of God. Laborers are sent with the words of comfort, with the words of joy, with the words of deliverance, the words of salvation to the people that are bound. It is always it has always been God's duty, as purpose of sending the laborers, the people who should stand for him, the people who should represent him. You know very well that God does not operate in a vacuum. God uses men. And you should realize that the gospel, oh my, need some people to take it. And the glory and the efficiency of the gospel depends upon men who proclaim it. Men who take the word to the people, and the glory and the efficiency of this very gospel depends upon you, depends upon me, those who are sent out to the people. You remember very well that Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, he also had to say the same words. He was quoting Isaiah. He quoted Isaiah the prophet. Apostle Paul, being a great man, he had to write these words and also to repeat these words to the Romans. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, yes, sir, beginning on verse 18, he says, for whosoever, verse 11, for the scripture said, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of truth. Praise God, the people who should bring the gospel of truth to the lost, the people who are in different parts of the world. You have since heard here that there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, meaning to say that those dividing lines that were there, whereby people were preferred over others, Apostle Paul break those boundaries, ethnocentric regulations, people who regard others as people who should regard others as inferior, while themselves are considered as superior. And you see, this we should know. This should realize that the word of God is there to put justice, to put equality amongst the people. All those that are created of God All those are created in the image and likeness of God, be they Jews, be they Gentiles, whoever they are. And when you are taking the gospel, don't discriminate people over the races or what. They are God's inheritance, all the people, irregardless of color, irregardless of race, irregardless of how poor or rich they are. So the Bible tells us, how can they hear without the preacher? It's God. How can they hear without the preacher? How can they believe in the name of one whom they've not heard? So it's our duty and our responsibility to take the gospel to the people so that they can hear and understand what we are representing. And when you are representing Jesus to the people, you yourself should know the very person who they've sent you. You become a true witness, you become a reality. And when you do that, it is important that you understand who you should be preaching to. So men and brethren, I'm bringing this gospel to you that you should understand these things. As Apostle Paul says, it is written, how beautiful are they feel those that bring a good news. How beautiful are they that should bring the word of God. How beautiful are the feet of those that should actually bring salvation to the people. So brethren, as we delve on this message today of the laborers of the harvest, let's bear this in mind, that we should understand that taking the gospel is the mission of God. What is it that we are talking about? The mission of God involves carrying the gospel across boundaries to those who owe no allegiance to Jesus Christ and encouraging them to accept him as Lord and Savior and to become responsible members of his church, working as the Holy Spirit leads at both evangelism and justice, at making God's will be done on earth and as it is done in heaven. Yes, sir, this is done by the laborers who should go out and tell the word of God as it is, bearing in mind that the importance of the gospel is to bring the kingdom of God into existence, to bring the kingdom of God to the people. Yes, sir. And what is the mission of these laborers? What is a mission, in fact? It is everything the church is sent by God into the world to do. Yes, sir. My. Yes, sir. And this mission that we go with as a church, my, we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the light of the world. Yes, sir. So when you are laborers, you are both the world, the salt of the world. You are both the light of the world. And by such, my, yes, sir, you'll be fulfilling what God requires us to do. So men and brethren, when you look at these scriptures, it reminds us the work that was done even by the apostles. 12, they were sent all over the world and they managed to perform this great work. It doesn't matter when you are few. God does not look at you. What number you are, how many you are. Oh my. If you rely on him, then he will do much exploits with you. And you remember, brethren, the 12 disciples who were sent of God, They went to different countries. Africa, Europe, Asia, mine, far and wide. And today we see ourselves as beneficiaries of this gospel. Just imagine if the word was not preached unto you, if God did not send his messengers to you, where would you be? Where would you be? How could you have heard the message? It took somebody. It took someone. He had the burden. He did not keep it to himself. He took the word to you. He sacrificed. He made some efforts to make sure that this gospel reaches you. Oh my. And you know, when we go to Matthew chapter 28, which all of you are familiar with. Yes, sir. You are familiar with that. That when Jesus rose from the dead, oh my, he sent the disciples. He commanded them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He commanded them, my, to take the gospel. Matthew recorded it here on Matthew 28, verse 16, is the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. On the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he had advised his disciples that if anything, they should meet him in Galilee, in the mountain, on a high elevation, in the mountain. The mountain too also represent Christ. This is where they were given the commandments of this great commission, and they worshipped him, but some doubted him. But as for you and me, we are not doubting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not doubting our responsibility. We are not doubting our call. We should know that really it is you and I who are sent of God. He said, yes. And what did he say? He said on verse 18 of Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is what Jesus said. He tells the disciples, he tells these apostles that he has all the authority. He has all the power. Men and brethren, the master whom we serve, Jesus whom we serve, yes, sir, he has all the power on earth and in heaven. Imagine. That very power has been handed over to you. That power, that greatness, that mightiness has been handed over to you, brother. Don't look down upon yourself. We are being told that we can bring out a new world. My. We can create things. We can bring things into existence. The messenger loved to sing that song, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Yes, sir. When you are going this gospel, as a laborer to the harvest, be positive that all things are possible. Healing is there. Yes, sir. Hope is there. Salvation is there with you. You have everything in your hands. You have everything on your shoulders. And when people look at you, they should see great hope. Further down, he says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yes, sir. You should go and teach all nations. Teaching them what? teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a great assurance from the Lord. When he said, go ye therefore into all the world. Go into India, go into America, go into Europe, go into Australia, or go into Africa, into the jungles. Go everywhere you are going. He said, the Lord is with you. If there is something that God will stand for, it is his word. He said, if there's anything that God will support, it is his word. Yes, sir. If there's anything that God will support and stand for, is a man who understands even his responsibility, that is the sent of God. Brethren, what do you say about Daniel? He stood for God. And God stood for him. If you stand for God, he will stand for you. What about him? When he was standing for God, the enemy tried to throw him in the lion's den, but God stood for him. What are we saying? Those three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon, they stood tall for the truth. They stood for God, and God stood for them. So, my brother, as long as you shall stand for God, wherever you would be, realize this fact that the Lord will stand for you. So, brethren, as laborers, whatever challenges that we may meet, whatever challenges that we can come across, whatever resistance that we meet on the way, because, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposing reaction. Bear this in mind, that we shall face resistance when we are laboring in the field for our real master and Jesus Christ. But what needs to be done is to have courage, if to have determination in the work that we are doing. And above all, being backed by the scriptures, above all, being backed by the Holy Ghost, above all, realizing that God is with us. The hand of the Lord is with us. The angels of the Lord are with us. All the authority in heaven and on earth is upon our shoulders. Oh my. Greater than all the kingdoms on planet earth. Greater than all the powers. Greater than all the authorities that you can hear and talk about. When you are standing for the gospel as laborers, you have the highest authority ever known of, ever talked about, ever realized. If you would realize the very power that is on you, the authority that is on you, my brother, you would do the work of God from the bottom of your heart. And knowing that, what you would be doing, it has greatest rewards. It has greatest rewards ever. God bless you. And we meet in the next service.